You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. This week, Kev visits Colombia, John plans some strategy, and Steve is an army of one.
I said, shut up, goddammit! Shut up, I'm recording! I'm recording here! Hello! You're listening to Blast Processing! The official podcast of all things video gaming!
Do I have to do that second part?
Gadget! And gear! Related! On DVDverdict.com!
Oh, yeah, that was lame. Lame.
Dude, we're doing a video gaming podcast. We are lame.
We are sitting in a dank basement.
Shut up, man. It's Blast Cave 1.
Okay, we are sitting in Blast Cave 1. See? True. I rest my case.
It is Blast Cave 1. Losers.
I'm glaiving. Oh, mercy. Anyway, yeah, you're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. I am your host. My name is Steve. I have two other hosts who are not named Steve. They're named...
There's John.
And I'm Kevin.
No, I said, there's John. And you were supposed to say, oh, and Kevin as well is here.
I want to be Kevin, though. Award-winning actor.
Highly acclaimed. Star of stage and screen.
Well, in my mind.
I keep telling everyone, man. You listeners out there like your Republic of Doyle. Doyle was Kevin's fucking understudy.
Oh, God. Oh, we opened that can.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Oh, no.
All right. So, what's happening in the world of video games, gadget, and gear-related
stuff? Well, of course, we had a big to-do earlier this week. Let's take a trip back through time for a minute. to the picturesque year of 2007, I think?
Yes, 2007.
2007, what many of us consider, you know... We go back, we look at the PS2 era.
That was a banner year.
Yeah, we look at the PS2 era and the Xbox era. We always say 2001 was kind of this big golden era. You know, you had... In 2001, you had Halo Combat Evolved for Xbox. You had Metal Gear Solid 2. You had Devil May Cry. You had Grand Theft Auto 3.
Final
Fantasy X.
Red Faction.
Red Faction was 2000, actually. But either way, there were a lot of... No, it was 2001. You're right. Red Faction, Medal of Honor, Frontline were both 2001. Yeah. So, I mean...
That was the year I got my PS2 right at the end of 2001.
Yeah.
And I had, like, 15 or 20 must-buy
titles. Yeah, I mean, it was a big year. Next to that came 2007. And,
There's also 2003, which was the great... It was a great year full of games that nobody bought because Grand Theft Auto Vice City was out.
Yeah, there's that,
or
too.
Or 2002, sorry.
That was 2002, Vice City was, yeah. But either way, you know, like... The year of, you know, that same renaissance with the current generation of consoles was probably like 2007, thereabouts, you know. And one game that really kind of kickstarted it all was the original BioShock.
Hells yeah.
Ken Levine's, you know, first real game, I think, since System Shock 2. I don't know if he had done anything between those. I don't know what it was.
I'm not a PC gamer, so I'm going to call it Ken Levine's first real game, period.
Oh!
Ouch.
And I say that as somebody who loved System Shock 2.
Okay, fair enough. But either way, you know, BioShock came. It whipped people into a frenzy. A lot of good games followed, you know, and it kind of became the yardstick for a good year or two. You know, every other first-person shooter on the market was kind of judged by BioShock. Well, this past week, we did get... Ken Levine's first game since BioShock.
He didn't do BioShock 2?
He didn't. BioShock 2 was like a direct-to-video sequel by another director.
Ah, you know. That makes sense.
Yeah.
If you played BioShock 2, yes, it does make sense.
It makes sense just because it was a little different. I actually was one of the few who liked it.
I'll be honest, I played BioShock 2 for the first time today.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what, BioShock 2 to me felt like all those... fan-made add-ons for Counter-Strike. This was like BioShock Blue Shift.
I don't know. It didn't have the same vibe. It didn't have the cool opening that grabbed you the way, you know, BioShock did. Mm. But Anyway, this week we finally have, after a long time waiting,
six years.
And more than one delay,
yeah,
we have BioShock Infinite.
BioShock Infinite.
And to tell you guys all about BioShock Infinite...
It's me. You're not going to talk about it. I got dibs. My finger's on my nose.
Okay, go ahead. He's going to try if we don't. Let him talk
about it. I didn't review a game last week, so I'm going to talk about BioShock Infinite. Because, number one, I'm the only one here who liked BioShock 2. That makes me a true fan of the BioShock series.
You're qualified.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And also, it was my very first pre-order of a game. I pre-ordered books. Clavin. now who's the nerd?
And that tells you everything you need to know.
Prince is dead.
Prince is not dead.
I could say something really horrible right now. I could say that tells you everything you need to know about why only 2/3 of the blast processing crew are married.
Oh, that hurts my heart.
Sting.
Oh. Anyway, if anybody's out there and listening and you enjoy my voice,
from out my breast.
Okay, let's talk about BioShock Infinite. Oh goodness, this is going to be a spoiler-free review. Okay, as much as possible. We will talk about the beginning, but I don't... Especially certain reveals, I don't want to...
Yeah.
Because when that reveal happened to me, I want... That was that's some video game memory was created there for me.
I agree.
That, holy fuck, I can't believe this is happening.
I don't think I'm at that part. So, yeah,
you've probably seen
it. You've seen it.
Yeah.
It probably meant more to me because I'm not cold-hearted.
Yeah. I know which scene you're talking about.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It was pretty stark.
It was stark. I couldn't believe it.
Pretty stark.
Yeah. We'll talk afterwards, after we finish recording.
Now I feel like I'm a horrible person.
John, all I will say is it involves the number 77.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, that was pretty terrible.
That was pretty terrible, yeah. yes, BioShock Infinite. It's fantastic. I'm so relieved, actually, is how I'm feeling about it. Extremely relieved, because I was scared. I was like, oh, God, please, please don't let this be bad, because we waited so long for it. It's fantastic. I know we were talking earlier, Steve, about how it's kind of the opposite of BioShock, thematically speaking.
Yeah.
But with a lot of the similar kind of themes in it. Like BioShock takes place underwater. Infinite is up in the air. BioShock is about no gods, only man. Infinite is about religious zealots.
Yeah, like men being portrayed as gods.
Yeah.
And also, BioShock was kind of... You arrived there after the fall of that society. BioShock Infinite, this society is at its... It feels like it's at its peak.
Yep, right? Exactly. Yeah, that's another thing.
The chinks are just starting to appear in the armor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And also, in BioShock, you didn't know why you were there. It was an accident, right? Or at least at the beginning it was. And
it was all entirely reactionary.
Yes. And in Infinite, you're sent there. You're there with a purpose. It's just... There's so many things, and the lighthouse at the beginning sets it all... That set the whole thing up for me. It told me that this was kind of a game of... That was the opposite of BioShock, because when you go to the lighthouse, same kind of deal from the first game, instead of going down, you go up.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, they did a good thing with this.
And man, even like BioShock had the little films you were going down, then the cool Art Deco signs, you know, 10 fathoms.
Yeah.
15 fathoms. And BioShock Infinite, you've got the...
The biblical, embroidered...
The biblical quotes with the sun beaming through them.
The announcer inside the rocket.
Yeah.
5,000 feet. 10,000 feet. Amen.
Yeah.
Ascension achieved.
Yeah. And then you just hear amen, and the old-timey, like, the gospel-style single guitar music starts playing, and that scene is just beautiful.
Oh, fantastic.
Also, look, too, like, the first game had the, you know, the whale swims up from behind the building, and in Infinite, you've got this, the first time you see one of the Zeppelins come out.
Yeah, very cool. I loved, something I didn't like right away, the very first time I had to do a melee attack, and it was, like, the triangle button, and I found it really awkward, but then I realized, you know what, that amps up the stress of having the melee, because for a second... You don't have that kind of control of moving around and everything, which makes sense, you know?
Yep.
It works.
And also, what he's hitting them with is awesome.
Yeah,
the little spiraling ice cream scoop of doom.
Yeah. That's very cool. Anyway, I'm digging it. I love it. I can't put it down. Like, all day at work today, I was thinking to myself, oh man, if I don't go over to Steve's, I'm going to go home and play BioShock for like 5 hours. It's going to be wicked.
Not that I'm not happy to be here with you fellas.
I thought you were so excited because today's tabletop day, but I just sit on my table and play Bioshock.
That's right, it's tabletop day. So
it is tabletop day.
Hopefully we'll play some board games this evening.
That would be all right.
Yeah.
Nerds! that was Mrs. Steve, you probably just heard in the background.
Yeah, she really wants to play some board games.
I know both of you guys have been playing it. Any thoughts?
Number one, I was worried. I was not worried. I can't say I was worried because, in all honesty, I'm not the biggest of Bioshock fans.
Right.
I really am not. The first Bioshock for me, I thought the politicking and the preachiness of it was really, really amateurish and heavy-handed. It struck me wrong. You know, right. It just didn't ring true to me at all. All of this, you know, capitalism and...
Ayn Rand.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretentious, like, Harvard student bullshit, right? It was, you know, sit down and have a cafe, creme brulee latte or something, and
read your
copy of Atlas Shrugged and then go make a video game. Like,
but give Steve a bunch of religious zealots and pitchforks.
That's different.
He's
all about it.
Hey, I was raised Roman Catholic, okay?
In his defense here, I'm not jumping to Steve's defense because honestly, fuck that guy. But in his defense, I too found with the original Bioshock there was a more than noticeable disconnect between the artistic endeavor and the actual game itself.
It
just felt like they'd taken I'm not going to say mediocre, a standard PC-style first-person shooter and just dumped a whole ton of art design on top of it without bothering to weave them into one another.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I'll say immediately, and today I went back, I revisited Bioshock today for the first time in about 3 years, started a new game, and, I mean, the opening few levels of that game are still absolutely brilliant.
No, it's only when you get in, it's really you get to Act Two and the chinks in the armor.
Yeah, and beyond that, like it relies too heavily on its gimmick. It relies far too heavily on this, you know, Atlas Shrugged man working for his own ends and yada yada yada. You know, like this anti-establishment, anti-government rambling that comes off as really amateurish, and it forgets what captivates you so much in the beginning, and that's Rapture itself.
Right.
You know, Rapture as a setting, like, unfolding to you and stuff like that, you know?
The fear creeping up the back of your spine, the lump in your throat of, when am I going to round the corner and see one of those great big diving bills?
And I mean, like,
every time you see Big Daddy at the beginning of that game,
it's terrifying.
You poop yourself.
Yeah, yes, and then near the end of the game, you start hunting them down.
Yeah.
Because you realize, man, that's awesome to kill them.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one. Oh, I got to set this up.
But it is, like, you know, the game does... The beginning was awesome. The end was pretty good. The middle, just, it was such a lull.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Up until the... Bioshock's big reveal, which I'm still I am to this day still hesitant to spoil that because it's brilliant.
Plus it's on the disc for Infinite, so people
only
might
on the
be
PS3 version
it.
Actually.
Oh really?
I don't think 360.
No, it's not on the 360 version. Yeah, it's not on the 360 version. Only PS3 version. But yeah, going back to it, that opening was brilliant. That lighthouse, the plane crash, and stuff like that was gorgeous and still holds up really well.
Ryan's film's great too.
Yeah, Ryan's little who is entitled to blah, blah, blah.
Is a man not entitled to the sweat of his
blood. It is good, but at the same time it kind of falls into that whole heavy-handedness again.
Yeah.
It doesn't really fit the game. It's like Levine's own political bent is kind of butting heads with the game that he's trying to make, you know? And fine and dandy, but I mean for me it caused problems. It did. It definitely caused problems. In terms of the design, I think even he himself, I think he just, in the rush to put a game together, some of the ideas were lost, and just that awesome feeling that you get from the opening, like from uncovering Rapture for the first time, you know, like that awesome, awesome feeling that you get in those first two acts is gone by the end of the game. You know, like it just becomes routine, and Columbia, so far, after a few hours, has not done that.
Yeah.
You know, like, it stayed pretty fresh for me. A lot longer than Rapture did.
Yeah.
And just, I think the reveal, while it's handled in similar fashion, is so much more effective.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just so much more poetic, more artistic, without worrying about, you know, getting certain points across. But then it does that religious zealotry and stuff really well, too. But it's like the ideas are a little bigger this time around. It's not just like a political agenda. It's more of a... there are ideas being kicked around, you know? But I love how it's all presented. I love the presentation in this game.
Yeah.
And I mean, that, like, yes, it was a strong point of the original BioShock, but it's like he took what worked with BioShock and then cranked that to 11.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm blown away. And the videos I saw, the gameplay videos and stuff, graphically speaking, I wasn't really sold. Art design-wise, I wasn't really sold. Like, the characters had this kind of garish, misproportioned look to them and stuff. And I sit down and I play the actual game, and I'm like, nah, this looks fantastic. Whether playing it on a stunning PC or the Xbox 360. You know, yeah. It's a nice-looking game. It plays great. The shooting feels fantastic. A little bit twitchy, but, you know, you get used to it. I'm loving it. So far, I'm really, really enjoying it.
I love how the game can go, you know... I mean, look at the setting you're in. It's always so far bright blue sky, sunshine, and then you'll round a corner and it just turns creepy as all shit.
Yeah, the house of the raven.
Yeah, the court of ravens or whatever they're called. Yeah. Or that part where we, I saw earlier, where we stepped in the elevator and you started seeing the film of Father Comstock. It looks like Big Brother from 1984.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the contrasts, too, like, you know, it's all, like, the raffle scene. It's so bright and sunny.
Yeah.
And all of this. And when the violence happens, when you know, you do this.
And
it gets messy, which is in one of the trailers. It is in one of the trailers. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
But when this certain event happens...
Stand tall for the Beast of America, Kevin.
Yeah. When this certain event happens with the powered ice cream scoop of death and the other poor guy, it's just like, oh! when it happens. Because it is so... bright and sunny, and then it just gets so visceral so fast.
Yeah.
If Mr. Dobbin were sitting next to us right now, we would have heard of something wrong with you, boy. Something wrong with you.
Yeah, so BioShock Infinite, go out and buy it.
Definitely.
Good game, man.
Definitely. It's a buyer for sure.
Yeah.
Now it's time for news.
Our favorite section of the week.
News.
All the news that's fit to listen to.
News!
Where does the word news come from?
News.
Oh, look at all those peaks on our recording monitor.
News.
He'll clean that up in post.
Right. News.
Yeah, we've got it, Steve. Okay, here we go. News.
News.
Big news this week. Metal Gear Solid 5: The Phantom Pain is official. We were right.
We were. Everybody was.
Yeah everybody guessed that.
Yeah, I mean, they all guessed like 2 hours after we... I just like to think...
We guessed it while we were watching. Holy shit, that's a new Metal Gear game. Yeah. The Phantom Pain, Moby Dick Studios. What the fuck? That's Metal Gear.
Yeah. Don't lie to me, Kojima. Nobody else is brave enough to give a main character facial hair. Or a mullet.
A mullet. Especially a mullet.
Hideo Kojima has announced the project at GDC alongside a stunning new trailer that incorporates the previously announced Ground Zeroes project as a sort of prequel chapter. Science Point MGS5 is being comprised of two separate releases, and it's confirmed that David Hayter will not be reprising the role he's played for the last 15 years, Snake. Kojima is planning a fresh start for the series. Platforms are unknown at this point, though the Xbox 360 and PS3 logos both appear at the tail end of the trailer. Best guess? Next-gen consoles in 2014.
Yeah. Also, the whole thing with the being two separate games, Kojima in his original address basically announced it all as one game.
Yeah.
Then Konami kind of said, whoa, hold on here. And then the next day in an interview with Jeff Douchebag Keighley, who's probably never touched a video game controller in his goddamn life...
We're Jeff Keighley fans here.
Yeah, can't you tell? Kojima basically said to Keighley that he's not really talking about how they're going to be distributed, but that Ground Zeroes will come first. So we don't know if it's going to be two separate retail games, if one's going to be DLC and the other's going to be like a store-bought, like if Ground Zeroes is going to be just a quick little download and then Phantom Pain is the whole shebang. But basically what's been confirmed at this point is Ground Zeroes followed by the Phantom Pain. Ground Zeroes is going to be like your taste. Phantom Pain is going to be completely huge. So.
Yeah. I'll tell you two things have been confirmed so far.
Yeah.
Sneaking and cigarettes.
There's probably going to be cigarettes. There's allusion to fucking David Bowie again, with Snake being a member of a group called the Diamond Dogs, and Kojima actually name-dropped Bowie's album as inspiration and stuff. So, you know, here we go.
Did I ever tell you guys how grateful I was that Way to Fall replaced Space Oddity as the ending theme to Snake Eater?
Yeah, really, though. I just, you know what? I'm kind of getting fed up with Hideo Kojima. I gotta say, I'm really kind of getting pissed off with him now. This whole playing with people and just being completely and utterly obtuse and out to lunch is just starting to get annoying.
Is this what happened with Iga before he lost Castlevania, when he started wearing the cowboy hat and going insane?
Maybe it's a Konami thing. Maybe Konami just drives their creators to go utterly batshit crazy.
To becoming Rob Zombie.
Yeah. Man, do you remember how awesome Metal Gear Solid was?
I do.
The first one.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he didn't dick around with people and just told a cool action story and built a video game around
it? Yeah, see, the problem was he built an awesome video game, but the only thing anyone ever wanted to talk about was the boss fight with Psycho Mantis, so he thought that's what everyone wants.
Ugh. Anyway.
It was a cool boss fight, though.
It was a cool boss fight. I want more, like, the original Metal Gear Solid and less, like, the rest of them.
How about a remake of Metal Gear?
We had that conversation already.
Did we?
Last week or the week before, we agreed. We agreed that it would be a good idea.
I have no recollection of that conversation.
If they would give me... I think it was Dirty Duck was the boss's name. They had the flamethrower in the first Metal Gear. They'd give me a boss fight against him, anything like what they had in Solid.
Only not named Dirty Duck.
Only not named Dirty Duck.
Yeah. That'd be alright.
Be cool.
So the other big game reveal... is that EA has officially taken the reps off of Battlefield 4.
Nice.
The biggest thing was the 17-minute-long gameplay sequence that shows a level called... What was it? Fishing in something or another? Fishing into something. Whatever place it was set. I think it's meant to be a play on fly fishing in the Yemen. Which was a book, I believe, and the Ewan McGregor movie that was kind of boring. But it kicks off with a great Bonnie Tyler song. Really intense, trapped in a vehicle segment. And then flashes back and shows you basically the mission as it unfolds. It's an entire mission of gameplay. It looks freaking stunning, which is to be expected, I guess, from next generation Frostbite tech.
Yeah, I was going to say, Frostbite 3... I'm impressed.
Yeah, it looks absolutely stunning. Destructible environments look amazing. Character facial, like the faces, look unbelievable. And Battlefield 3, they went for that realistic look. They went for realism in lighting and in action and stuff like that. Destructible environments. It seems like this time they've got that down, so they improved that slightly, but what they really nailed was character animations. Character animations are absolutely incredible. Like, it all looks like mo-capped CG animation. Looks phenomenal. Looks absolutely phenomenal. The mission looks intense as all hell. And the other big thing, like the big thing everybody's been taking away from it, is a lot of the multiplayer aspects have kind of crept into the single player game. And with Battlefield 3, I mean, you had a game where a lot of the major review sites annihilated the single player campaign. I loved it. I thought it was great. But yes, it was a guided, scripted, on rails single player campaign. You know, it was, for what it was a fantastic campaign. But that it is what it is. This one looks to really be adding a lot of the non-linearity, more open environments, multiple ways to kind of go about fighting.
Which is really cool, man, because that's been the core of Battlefield since Battlefield 42.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you get at least two or three instances where you see, like, you know, your main character calls in a chopper strike on a bunch of parked targets, and whereas, like, you know, in Medal of Honor or Battlefield in the past, or even Call of Duty, you know, the game stops dead and says, use your laser to pinpoint this and call in a ground strike, you know, or whatever. And you do it, you go through the motions, the game continues. Whereas with this, you can choose to do it, you can choose to ignore it, keep on moving. You can go about an entirely different way. You can hop in a Jeep and charge down the bad guys in this Jeep and using the roof turret if you want to. Like, it is a lot more open-ended that way. Like, it seems to be more similar to the multiplayer environment. Right down to, like, they've got the mini-map now, and you see little social notifications popping up in the corner, like, if you get another player on your list who's at a similar point in the game and stuff like this. They haven't made any formal announcements about co-op yet, but when questioned about it, the head of game design for it, he was the multiplayer lead on Battlefield 3 and Bad Company, Bad Company 2. Now he's the full lead on 4. He did kind of slyly smile and kind of nod to one side. You know, like, not something they're talking about yet, but I got a feeling you're going to see at least 4-player co-op.
Cool.
Which is pretty awesome. And, I mean, it looks stunning. It looks absolutely stunning. And memorable characters. You know, the guys in here, by the end of this 17-minute gameplay sequence, you kind of get a feel for all four of the characters they highlight, you know? And something happens to one of them that's really, really nasty, and I kind of felt sad. I will freely admit, I can't wait. Anyway, it's coming this fall for pretty much every console under the sun.
Okay. Something to look forward to, in that case.
I'll be Oscar Mike.
I might even play it.
You should. Yeah, everybody should. Even Battlefield 3 was fantastic. The multiplayer in Battlefield 3 was incredible.
See, I've never played any of the Battlefield games, really.
You gotta kind of be into the whole... You know, it helps if you were a child of the 80s, you grew up watching a lot of Predator and reading G.I. Joe comics.
Right.
You know, that definitely helps.
Well, I play a lot of He-Man.
Yeah,
Thundercats.
See?
Why am I even hanging out with you guys? Oh, God. Okay.
Do you even know who Steven Seagal is?
Of course I do. Okay.
He owns that jewelry shop down in water, right?
Where I get my chains. In other news, the famously successful Kickstarter Ouya, Android-powered little video game console.
You're breaking my rule.
What's that?
Whenever you say the name of that console, it has to be said in the Macho Man voice.
Ooh, yeah!
Okay. See, I didn't know that. Anyway, it's...
Yeah, but if you had read G.I. Joe comics and watched Predator as a child, you would've...
just would have went for that. It just would have been a natural reach for...
Certain level of testosterone in the male body, you go to Randy Savage automatically.
I had a few Joes. I didn't have many, but I had a few. Come on, now. I had Deep Six, all right.
He was my
bathtub toy. Yes, you know this. and now everybody else does. Oh my God.
From your lips to the internet's ears.
Okay. Anyway, the little video game console that could.
Ooh, yeah! Ooh, yeah!
Will be shipping to the general public on June 4th.
I'm excited.
I am too.
Isn't it less than $100?
It's $99.
That's freaking awesome. And you can play, I could play Cyberlords Arcology on my TV with it.
Yeah, and if they're still going with the deal that, you know, everything's going to be free to try.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool.
I mean, the only downside, really, is that it's Android, and the Android Play Store absolutely blows.
Well, maybe the Ouya store is going to be better.
We can only hope.
I hope so, because that's what they're building this whole system around. Anyway, I'm excited for that. Early backers have already gotten their systems shipped out to them. So, you know, I'm sure soon we'll see videos online and unboxings and...
Yay!
All that kind of stuff.
Maybe if Tony gets his early, we can do an unboxing, hey?
That would be cool.
Tony, if you're listening, let us play with your... Ooh, yeah!
And then we can talk about it on Blast Processing,
yeah.
the official video game podcast.
Of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on
DVDbird.com. Yeah, right on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. How do I segue out of this?
Segue!
Come segue. Come segue.
Stop it. You're ruining my happy news.
Oh, no. Six always makes you happy, man. Come on. You'll be all right.
Crytek. You all know Crytek.
We all know, yes. Crytek. Crysis 3. Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how I felt.
And their new studio, Crytek USA.
Very original name there, guys.
Yep. Is now planning on bidding, or actually, no, we're not even planning, they're going to be bidding.
They already have bid.
On the late THQ's Darksiders IP.
Woo!
Which would go hand in hand with Crytek USA, the studio birthed from the ashes of Vigil Games, the creators of the IP. Best of luck, guys. We want more Darksiders.
We really want more Darksiders.
That's one of the best new IPs of this generation.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. First Darksiders, I mean, I haven't spent any time with two, so I can't really comment.
Oh, it's a great game, other, but Darksiders was a phenomenal
first game. Yeah. Absolutely mind-blowing, man.
Yeah.
The first Darksiders was the Zelda game I'd wanted since 1991 or 92, whenever Link to the Past came out.
Yeah. I mean, I could have seen it go better ways.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, I could have seen other studios kind of scoop it up that I think would have done something really cool with it.
Yeah.
But, you know what? It's back in the hands of its creators, hopefully.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can't really ask for any better than that, can you?
No, you can't, man. No. Gonna be good. I still have
especially if in the next Crysis game we get downloadable war armor.
War armor? Yeah. Speaking of war, wars are fought on battlefields. And I want to talk about Battlefield 4 again for a second.
Segue.
So, despite being available for every console under the sun, right? We know this. We know it's going to come out for, you know, PlayStation 3.
Well, it's a major EA title. Why wouldn't it?
Xbox 360, PC, you know, whatever. Battlefield 4 is going to be skipping the Wii U.
Oh. Now, why is that?
Because they just don't.
Oh, we don't have a real reason.
No. Don't. That's why.
Because don't.
Battlefield 4 for Wii U. Don't. another, like, shitty...
But Nintendo don't.
Yeah, you know, it, alongside that comes Epic's announcement that Unreal 4 is not even remotely considering working on the Wii U.
And also, Frostbite is not going to be...
Well, supported. Frostbite 3, yeah.
Yeah.
Frostbite 3, which Battlefield 4 is powered on.
Ah.
So, I mean, they're making these things for, you know, backwards compatible for PlayStation 3, Xbox 360. They're scalable to work on the 360 PS3, but not on, you know, the what is considered to be similar architecture of the Wii U. That's it kind of casts a gloomy black pall over Nintendo's poor little console. They're fledgling, fresh
well,
out of the womb.
It's not a next-gen console. You can't call it a next-gen
console. No, it's not.
Do I see a little bit of buyer's remorse?
Neither is the PS3 or the Xbox 360 at this point.
No, that's true.
But it's working on those.
Yeah.
There's not really any buyer's remorse. I got my Monster Hunter and I'm satisfied. But, you know, like, go figure. The one Nintendo console that I would adopt early would be, like, a horrible, colossal fuck-up of a failure. In other news, the Game Boy Color version is right on schedule.
The Game Boy Micro version is coming out.
Way to get rid of your Nintendo perks, Steve.
So, GDC happened this week.
It did.
Yeah. We didn't have any news from that, did we, except for this?
There wasn't a whole lot of news. Well, really. Battlefield 4, Metal Gear 4, that was cool.
Yeah.
There were a lot of parties, apparently, that were, like, ad hookers or something.
Yeah. Mojang. Oh, Mojang.
And the...
You gotta pronounce
software
it.
Mojang. And the Software Developers Association.
Yeah.
IDG something in Game Developers.
Bad stuff.
Yeah, you know, they had...
We want our party goers to feel comfortable, so we're gonna hire a whole boatload of whores.
We're gonna hire a bunch of topless dancers to perform fellatio while they're...
Oh my god. Can we... Is it possible to get rid of that in post?
No.
I don't think you've ever used that word on... Well, maybe you have. You guys have been doing this much longer than I have.
Flagrante.
Anyway, I'm gonna continue with my news story, which is free from all crudeness. At GDC this week, Adams Greenwood Erickson from Full Sail University.
That's not a goddamn university. Yeah. They put spam ads on frickin' IMDb, okay?
They do. Gave a talk revealing the weighting system used by Metacritic when formulating their scores. There's been a lot of controversy about this.
Yeah.
According to Erickson, certain sites and magazines, some even sponsored by platform holders, are given more value than independent sites when formulating their Metacritic score. Metacritic has come out with a statement denying the accuracy of his findings.
See,
and they even said, when he was doing the research, they even told him that they use a weighting system. And what he's done is try to figure out what it is, because they wouldn't tell him what it was.
Okay, so it has basically been confirmed that there is a weighting system in place. Like, he was told in no uncertain terms that there is a certain degree
of
weighting.
I'm pretty sure I read that.
Okay, because I was going to say, I'd almost side with Metacritic there, because basically all they're doing is collecting review scores and just averaging them.
Yeah.
But if they're giving certain sites an extra point or two as a weight, then...
Basically saying, okay, this site is...
IGN is worth two instead of... Yeah,
they're more reliable and they've got better critics than...
I would say IGN's got better critics.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, IGN is one of the top ones. One of the higher
ones. And I say that without any ego or irony at all. I say that, you know... As far as game reviews go, listen, guys, we're just going to play it straight with you right now. We're not a bunch of jaded, cynical assholes who do this for a living. We play games because we enjoy playing games, okay?
Yeah.
We don't play games because we're jaded assholes who get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars.
Or $1.
We don't. You think we make money off of this? What are you, out of your minds?
I don't know how I'm going to afford coffee after this.
No, I don't. You know, we play games because we like games. We review games because we know how games are put together. We've played enough games to form an educated opinion as to how they're made, so we can tell you what's good and what's shit.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it. So we should be worth like 8 points on Metacritic's weighting scale.
So anyway, I think it's bullshit, because, and especially Steve, when you were when we were talking earlier about how developers will not get bonuses if their critic rating
is based on their critical ratings. See, what they need to do there is they need to stop using Metacritic and start using a site like Game Rankings.
Yep,
that's what they need to do, because all Game Rankings is an aggregate.
Yep.
All it is an average.
Mm-hmm.
Use Game Rankings. Use what was the other one? The one IGN started that lasted no time. Game Scores or something.
That's right, because Game Rankings is
GameSpot.
GameSpot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, like, just use a site like Game Rankings.
Yeah.
Why bother with Metacritic? It's stupid.
I never run Metacritic, ever.
It's shit.
Yeah.
You know.
So there you
it's
have
Babylon
it.
Babylon 5.
It's a big pile of shit.
And even if some of this guy's findings are perhaps exaggerated, it's good to get this kind of stuff out on the table.
Well, I mean, so anything that it, cuts right? down on these kind of shenanigans, because, yeah. I mean, it's one thing. I can understand Metacritic to a certain degree. Like, I can understand, like, say, for example, IGN. How many times did I hear, you know, like, when I've worked in that industry, especially in the older Microplay days,
mm-hmm.
how many pre-orders got canceled because of a shitty IGN review?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I was like, are you out of your mind? I remember someone coming in and canceling a Grand Theft Auto 3 pre-order because IGN had an unfavorable preview on it. Like an unfavorable hands-on. And I slapped, I think it was like Official PlayStation Magazine at the time, or PSN, one of them. They had like this little expose written to 6-page preview, and they actually described in detail the opening sequence of the game. And I slapped the magazine on the counter, and I said, read that. And he read it, and was like, yeah, that sounds awesome, man. I was like, so there you go. He was like, no, I'm still going to cancel it. IGN doesn't seem to like it. You know, it's like, what, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Like, and this is the thing, like, sites like Metacritic and all these, like, bonuses given to developers and whatnot should not be based on a Metacritic average.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I want to encourage making good games and not shit, sometimes guys just, like, I mean, look at Terminal Reality with this crappy Walking Dead game that came out last week.
Oh, yeah, that got
You know,
slagged.
Like, I mean, it's getting destroyed. Do you think they had a choice?
Yeah.
Do you really think that Activision gave them any choice in the matter whatsoever? No.
Yeah.
Of course not. They knew they were making a shitty game. It's not fair that these guys don't get paid because they made a shitty game because Activision forced them at gunpoint to make a shitty game.
You're going to make a My Little Pony game.
And you're going to like it. You're going to talk positively about it in IGN previews. Ugh.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess that's our news.
I think so. So there was more than BioShock released this week.
Really?
There actually was. BioShock Infinite was not the only big release this week. EA did also resurrect one of their relatively new franchises, one of the ones they cooked up for this generation back when EA was really championing new IPs. This week did see the release of Army of Two, The Devil's Cartel.
Nice.
The third entry in the Army of Two series. New another little history lesson. We're going to go back in time again.
Oh, that was also 2007, wasn't it?
Was that 2007? Yes, I think it was. 2007 or 2008.
Yeah.
Might have been 2008.
Remember us breaking out two TVs for that shit.
Yep. The original Army of Two, I was a huge fan.
Great game.
I was a colossal fan of the original Army of Two. I loved how it weaved in and out of, like, actual global events. I loved how they used, like, Mogadishu, Bosnia. I loved how they used 9/11 in it and stuff like that. And it, like, it did it respectfully.
Yes,
you know,
I remember
that. It weaved in and out of realistic
wasn't
events.
Wasn't the timeline of the first game you set during 2001, wasn't it?
No, well, part of it was.
That's right, because doesn't he see something on the news or a TV or...
Yeah, his phone's ringing.
Yeah.
Salem. Well, you see one of the guys sees on the news and you see the other one wake... I think it was Salem wakes up drunk on the couch.
Yeah, and sees it on television or whatever, yeah. And it's like, oh, shit. Yeah. But yeah, like, they really used it well. They really, like, used real-world events pretty well in Army of Two. And by the end of the game, it was, I mean, it was a cracker of a game. It had some great variety in missions and stuff like that, you know, it...
parachuting onto an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And then fleeing the aircraft carrier as it exploded.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was a pretty awesome game. It was pretty well put together. Then came the 40th day, which was a pretty awesome concept. Characters were still there and present. They had new voice actors, but, I mean, it was still Salem and Rios, who I was starting to get attached to at this point. And they'd kind of nailed down the characters of each one, you know, they kind of had the humor and stuff nailed down at this point. And they had a pretty cool story about Shanghai being attacked by, like, just a terrorist group called the 40th Day Initiative. And by the end of the game, you found out that there was some pretty biblical shit going on. And it was, you know, it was well executed. It was a pretty well done game. They tightened up the shooter mechanics and stuff like that. They really perfected this aggro system. They added some extra ancillary bullshit to it that didn't really sit well in the morality system. And they did take the variety out of the missions, because, I mean, essentially you're moving from point A to point B in Shanghai for the whole game, so you didn't get the same variety of scenery.
No parachuting onto
an aircraft carrier. No 9/11 references, and...
Did it have the gunsmithing stuff in the second
game? Oh, yes, yeah, and it was awesome.
It was really good. And the big downside for me with the second was it just felt more like a shooting alley. Yeah. You know, it just felt like you were moving from room to room shooting everything. And it did get pretty dull. But overall, you know, solid game. Then comes the Devil's Cartel.
All right.
The Devil's Cartel...
Ballistic masks are rad.
Yeah, ballistic masks are awesome. But anyway, Tyson and Rios, they're on the sidelines this time around. Or Tyson, Rios, and Elliot Salem, sorry. They're on the sidelines. They're not your main characters anymore. They're the heads of Trans World Operations, and you're playing as two new recruits named Alpha and Bravo. Who are pretty well portrayed. You know, it's actually not that bad. I mean, I know why they went that route. They went that route to have, you know, just a nondescript player character so that the player could infuse their own whatever, you know, like the same old bullshit they've been getting on with since the original Half-Life.
Right.
You know? But
we can't afford voice actors.
But this is the weird thing. They are actually all voice acted, and they do have character, and the characters are pretty much the same as
Salem and Rios.
Salem and Rios. Mm. You know, so it's like, huh.
Maybe it's just the answer to the question. If these guys own Trans World Operations, why the fuck are they going out getting
shot? Yeah, well,
in
I mean, the whole thing with Army, with the second one, with the 40th day, was they were the only two employees.
Yeah.
You know, but here you've got two characters who basically you had. They switched around the big guy and the little guy's characters. So, you know, in the other two, Salem was the wisecracky, like the skinny guy was the wisecracker and all this kind of stuff, and the big dude was the all business.
Rios is the guy who's seen the shit.
Yeah, whereas now it's flip-flopped. The little guy is the wiry guy, is the no-nonsense guy, and the big dude is the wisecracker, you know. But beyond that, they've stripped pretty much every bit of character out of the game.
Boo!
It all takes place south of the border, down Mexico way, which about as, you know, it's the same old fucking sun-bleached haciendas and Mexican stereotypes that we've seen.
There's a lot of rubble in the streets, isn't there?
There is some rubble in the streets. There is some rubble. There's some parked cars. You know, it's just, it's boring. It's dull. It's boring. The bad guys are a nondescript drug cartel that, you know, like the fact that they're a cartel really has no bearing on the game whatsoever. It's just an excuse for Latinos to shoot at.
Listen, Devil's Cartel is an awesome title, but now we have to put a cartel in the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the big thing. The bad guys are completely nondescript and boring. Incredibly boring. It never really takes off at all in a narrative department. Like, you know, you get this opening sequence where they're all in a convoy and it's like, oh, everything's pretty quiet. We're protecting this, you know, this politician. And boom, explosions, boom, look at RPG! Flashback 5 years, flashback to the present. Let's go save dude and...
Guys, listen, it worked in Iron Man because the dialogue was clever.
Yeah, but it's not even... Like, there's no forward momentum at all. It's just shooting gallery after shooting gallery is what it is. It's the worst stuff in the 40th day. But beyond that, a lot of the gameplay elements that were present, like the aggro system where you could have one player draw all the aggro from the enemies and you see a little meter on screen that kind of flashed over to your side to let you know that, you know, it was safe to perform a flanking operation. Now, all that's been stripped out.
Wow.
So it's still kind of there. You can still flank and stuff like that, but the AI seems a lot more arbitrary this time around. You know, it seems a lot more like just if you move within a certain radius, it starts shooting at you kind of thing, you know? Unless the other person is really pouring on more heat. And
so,
the bad guys
okay,
are
so,
just...
So our tactic of me drawing aggro with a gun that can shoot through engine blocks isn't going to work.
No. And like, the bad guys now are, you know, nondescript cholo boys. Like, they all look like they came off the streets of East L.A. They all got bandanas around their faces and carrying AKs, and they're just dull.
Is it at least move compatible?
No.
See? God damn EA.
On the flip side, the gun mechanics feel fantastic. The shooting is great.
But you gotta use a controller to do it.
You do have to use a controller. Shut up, Woolridge. Jesus. So you do have to use a controller, which is fine. You know, the controller feels great. The action feels fantastic. It is, like, as far as third-person shooters go, it works well. It doesn't fudge that up too much. Alpha and Bravo are kind of likable. I like them. They're entertaining. You know, they're pretty fun. The fights can get really damn hectic. You know, things do get pretty intense. Overkill mode is absolutely fantastic. You build up a little meter. When you hit overkill mode, you become invincible. You get unlimited ammo and unlimited grenades. And your damage is, like, multiplied by 8,000.
Yeah, I saw a guy get blown in half with a shotgun.
Yeah, and overkill mode is extremely satisfying. Okay. And you can chain it together as well. So, like, if you're playing two-player, one person can hit it. And just as it's about to expire, it goes into, like, a cooldown. And then player two can hit it. And you go, like, you continue to chain kind of thing. And it's gory as shit when you get overkill on the go. You know, and using Frostbite 2, so there was like a lot of destructible environments. You see a lot of stuff blow up really nicely. It's a pretty nice looking game. It's not an ugly game. It's pretty attractive. It's definitely the nicest looking of the three.
Okay.
But it's just, I can't get past the bland, like the vanilla feel of it. You know, going from that first game, which really did this awesome job with this paramilitary style, you know, activity, and then the second one, which was a full-blown Roland Emmerich movie, into this third one, which is just like
a full-blown Robert Rodriguez movie.
Yeah, fighting gangsters down in Mexico. You know, it's just, what? Really? Like, what possibly convinced you that this would be a good idea? Like, was there a Mexican producer on staff who was like, you know, I want to show more of my own home country in this game, so I gotta, you know, the cartels are a big problem down in Mexico right now. So, you know, like, why the hell would you do this? Didn't we do Mexico City with Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter back in 2005?
Yes.
You know, like, didn't we get all that out of our system? Was there any need? I mean, I don't want to sound racist or go against the Mexicans here.
Hold on now. No, sorry.
Before he says something. It's a played out action movie cliche.
Yes. And that's exactly my point.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I wasn't.
And I do know they were selling the Devil's Cartel as a big Hollywood blockbuster
action game, right?
It's a direct-to-video starring Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And that's the thing. It's like,
Steve
again,
Austin and Danny Trejo are going to take on.
You know, it's not a horrible game. It's really not a horrible game. It's not like, you know, I'm making it sound worse than it actually is. The shooting mechanics are fine. The weapon customization is still as awesome as ever. You can go in and add on barrels and stocks and whatever else to whatever, you know, assault rifle of the day that you're using. And it feels good. The shooting mechanics do feel great. The action levels are pretty solid, you know, like and they do mix things up a little bit more than the 40th day did. You know, like I had one sequence where I was in the door of a helicopter using a sniper rifle to try and cover two of the guys and stuff like this, you know, and that stuff was really, really, really cool. Very cool. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, I regret my decision here by purchasing the game. I'm still a fan of the series, but this just doesn't feel like Army of Two. You know, it doesn't feel, it doesn't have that, you know, that Tom Clancy meets Michael Bay feel of the first two. You know, it feels lame. It feels more like, hey, what if Oliver Stone made an all-out action movie? You know?
Oliver Stone doesn't shoot fist bumping.
No. And on top of that, major spoilers, put on your earmuffs if you don't want to hear. Turning Elliot Salem into the villain is the stupidest fucking thing I have ever heard in my life.
I saw a cutscene of it, and if they handle it well, it could work.
They don't.
No, but
they
really
don't.
You've got, like, the first two games are based entirely on the brotherhood between Salem and Reeves.
Yeah, and in this, he basically, you know, okay, early on in the game, you're in a compound, you're on a rescue mission, and it's Alpha and Bravo, Elliot and Tyson.
Yeah.
And they're after one specific girl. They find her, she's already dead, but there's another girl there being held hostage. And Tyson decides, we gotta save her. And Salem says, no, we're not getting paid for that, throws a hissy fit and leaves.
Yeah.
And, you know, then supposedly dies in such a way as you know he's going to come back later on as the villain.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's so ridiculously overplayed, cliched, and just silly.
Now, what if it ends with, like, a cutscene like the end of Battlefield 3 where Rios gets to beat him to death with a brick?
No.
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 You're just angry because you used to play as Salem. And
I did play as Salem. Yeah, I always played as Salem. Salem was a cool character. But Salem had a conscience.
Yeah.
You know, like, the character turn just feels so artificial and so bogus, you know?
And they don't even play up, like, in the other two games, his money problems, the fact that he blows every dollar he makes stupidly.
Yeah, and beyond that, they changed their voice actors again.
So it's not Nolan North anymore?
No, but neither one of them. The different voice actors again.
They should have just got Nolan North to play both of them.
Three games, three different sets of voice actors.
Wow.
And they're vaguely recognizable. Like, even, like, their facial features and stuff don't really look the same. So, EA Montreal, what the hell happened with the Devil's Cartel? Like, I mean, did anybody involved with the first two games have anything to do with this game at all?
That saddened me. I was crazy excited about this, especially when I found out it was EA Montreal.
Yeah, right? Same guys. I mean, the same guys that made the first two. And, I mean, the first two were world-class games. They were great games, man. This one, it's, you know, don't pay $59.99 for it. Pay $39.99 for it and have a good weekend of shooting. Enjoy yourself, but try to flush any memories of the first two games out of your head before.
Next week in the news, we'll all be crying because EA's canceled the Elite 2 franchise for not making...
Oh, 9 chances out of 10.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's their own fault in this case. It's not like Dead Space 3 where the game was awesome and you assholes didn't buy it.
This time you assholes didn't buy it because we told you not to.
Yeah, don't buy it. Don't buy the Devil's Cartel. Send a message. Vote with your wallet, as Cliff Bleszinski would say.
I'm going to buy Dead Space 3 eventually.
You should. Yeah. Arsehole, you should have bought it on launch.
I totally should have bought it on launch. I didn't have any money then. That's and the then problem. Tomb Raider came out, and then Bioshock came out.
Well, fair enough.
And now I'm going to buy a beanbag chair.
After you buy Dead Space 3.
Wow. You should buy a beanbag chair and paint it up to look like Dead Space 3. Like a giant pile of flesh.
I would never want to sit in it. It's disgusting.
It would be terrifying.
Well, as a clerk could sit in it, you'd stomp the hell out of it, see what goodies fall out of it.
You know what would fall out of it? Little tiny styrofoam balls.
There you go.
Yeah, but Isaac Clark could take that to his.
Why don't you buy the kit from Walmart? Why don't you just buy a whole bunch of little foam balls from Walmart?
Make your own because it's not a sumo chair.
I want the brand name, man.
You want the chick that comes with it.
No.
Yes.
Do we have another game to talk about?
I think we do.
So, we have a problem on blast processing.
We do.
We do. No, but it's not any of the problems you guys are thinking
about. We do?
Yes, we have several problems, but we have a problem.
We have several problems.
It was brought to my attention.
I think our biggest problem starts with John.
Listen, my drinking issues and my marital life are not even concerned. No, it was brought to my attention recently. Apparently, we don't cover enough portable gaming.
Do you know why?
Because it's
portable gaming is an oxymoron.
Yeah, but
we used to talk. Okay, if you guys want me to talk about Chronicles of
Kevin, what
Carnia,
I want you to do is shut your
children, Children of Anocia 2.
I thought it was Chronicles of Anocia, Children of Carnia.
It was Children of Carnia. Yeah. I will gladly talk about it again.
No, Sparta wages the war, Tori.
Because I used to talk about those games, mobile gaming. Come on.
That's not portable gaming.
That's not portable
gaming. No. So, and I'm talking about, like, Game Boy brand or Vita. And, you know, there is a reason we don't do it anymore, because...
Because it's dead.
Yeah, there's nothing out there. But I'm going to make a couple of our listeners happy. I went out last week, and I found what we're going to describe as the last copy of Fire Emblem Awakening in St. John's. It's funny, I was like, it's nowhere to be found in the city. I looked everywhere for it. See, like, did you try Best Buy? The doy? Sure enough, I went to Best Buy and he was there.
What the hell is this to do?
I don't know. He's been doing this a lot.
I heard 12-year-olds say it, and I thought it sounded cool.
You also watch You're a Brony, too, aren't you?
No. Shut up.
Not online.
Stop saying that. Dude, you're killing my street credit.
John is the angry man who married the My Little Pony and sent the letter to the internet.
Guys, I'm going to lose the Jontaraj. Shut up. No, I picked up Fire Emblem Awakening.
Mm.
And it's... Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys here. I'm not what we call a Fire Emblem fan.
I'm really not.
You know, I've never played them.
That's just it. And that's all. That's all it stands with me. The only game I played was one of the GBA games. I think it might have been the first one to be released.
The GBA ones were just re-releases of the SNES games.
SNES
Fire
ones,
Emblem
yeah.
1 and 2.
So it was just... I played it, and it's like, man, it's Advanced Wars with elves.
Yeah.
Right?
Which I kind of liked.
Yeah. But it's, I picked up this one, and, I gotta say, I'm digging the hell out of it.
Cool.
I'm really enjoying it. I honestly think, you know, if it wasn't on 3DS...
Is it still turn-based?
Yes.
Okay.
But I do think it'd be something you'd enjoy. It's, it plays the story deadly serious. It's just, what's starting to be a sweeping epic fantasy. There's no... I'm not sure if there's anything going to be coming into it later, but I mean, there's no... There's a distinct lack of anime cliches, and I'm really liking that.
I enjoyed... I played the first two on GBA.
Yeah.
Actually, I played them on SNES on an emulator, like translated emulator.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy the GameCube one, which I think I still...
Radiant Dawn.
Yeah, I think...
No, Radiant Dawn was the Wii one. I think the GameCube one was just called Fire Emblem.
Might have been. I did own it at one point. I may still, but I'm not sure. But I know I did own it at one point. I did play a fair bit of it, and I did enjoy it. And I think, if I remember correctly, I might have had one on N64.
And there's a couple neat little nods to... I know there's, in the first couple games, there was this character, Mirth.
Yep.
Everyone knows Mirth from Super Smash Brothers, unless you're a real gamer like me and don't play Super Smash Brothers.
Yay. But John knows who Mirth is from Super Smash.
I'm a public video game reviewer, okay? I've played them. I just think they're broke as all shit. But no, they kind of handle Mirth in this more as like a Batman-style figure. You've got this knight going around with a full face mask on. Nobody knows who it is. And just... basically has named himself after some long lost hero of old.
Cool.
And you know, it's a lot of fun. It's really, really simplistic strategy. Really reminds me of like Dragon Force for the Sega Saturn.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, originally, Fire Emblem was all about just basically countering the right unit with the right unit.
Yeah, or like, what was the great one for TG16?
Military Madness.
Military Madness. It's just like that. It's rock, paper, scissors. Send the right unit out, and you get specific bonuses for terrain, or if you've managed to line up a couple units in that. Yeah. And after, oh god, nearly 10 years of NIS software strategy gaming bullshit...
Mm.
It's so nice just to play one that just has all of that cut away. And it's... I heard it was described to me by one of our listeners as the sort of game where it's going to be... You're going to be, just 5 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes. Oh, what the hell? Just one more map. And then it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Right?
Hmm.
And I'm really enjoying it because it's the most I've played my 3DS since I bought it. Right? I haven't touched my 3DS since the... 15 minutes I spent with Kid Icarus when we reviewed that.
Ooh. Oh, God.
And that was weeks ago, motherfucker. that was months ago, right?
That was
a dark time for me, you guys remember.
Man, it's so exciting about a Kid Icarus. And jeez, it was so bad.
It was.
And even, like, I would have been down with it if they just said, yeah, it's going to play exactly like Star Fox but with Kid Icarus. I'd be down for that. But now we're going to put in some ground levels with... You're still going to have to navigate them like a spaceship, though.
And we're going to give you, like, an impossible-to-use control scheme.
Yeah. Mm. So much so that we have to stick in a cheap plastic pedestal for you to rest your 3DS. Well, none of that comes with Fire Emblem.
Yay!
No, it's just a stripped-down, simplistic, fun little strategy game.
Awesome.
When is it people are going to realize that the only thing touchscreens are any good for in video gaming is inventory screens?
Yep.
It's the only thing they're of any use.
And you know what it's used for in Fire Emblem?
Inventory.
Inventory, or the game will come up, and if a new game mechanic is introduced, you can just flip the screen like that, or you can do that with a shoulder button.
There you
hey!
Go.
What about games where you're performing surgeries?
By drawing a pentagram on a guy's chest.
You need it then.
I don't want to play games where I'm performing surgeries.
That game was fun. What was it called?
I believe when we were playing Army of Two, you used to call yourself a surgeon with that shotgun.
Yeah, that's the kind of surgery I like.
Chick, chick, boom! You were thinking of Trauma Center, Kevin.
Yeah, Under the Knife, Trauma Center.
Which was, again, Babylon 5, a big pile of shit. So, yeah, Fire...
Now, hold on a second.
Shut up.
Didn't Trauma Center... Like, okay, if it was realistic... Fine, you know, where heart surgery takes like 4 hours and you don't have like magical purple and green goop to spray over stuff. And
afterwards you get a ridiculous amount of money and buy a Ferrari. And then the game turns into Forza.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
No. I got nothing. Okay, Tron Center, okay, it is what it is.
Then you
let's get back
your Ferrari on San Fernando Boulevard, and then you're in the OR and you take over as a new doctor performing surgery on the old doctor.
Let's get back to this Babylon 5.
And then you buy another car and try not to crash it on the Pacific Coast Highway.
Oh. Anyway, Babylon 5 was a groundbreaking series, and you guys just never gave a chance. Okay, go ahead.
Hey.
No, I'd recommend Fire Emblem to any of the throngs of unfortunate 3DS owners, such as myself, if you can find a copy.
To all you silly fools who bought a 3DS, Fire Emblem.
Although I do believe it's available as a downloadable title. But I have an instruction book!
And I would recommend Babylon 5 to anybody out there interested in science fiction and that has a brain.
See, Kev, what you're doing now is defending the fantasy genre with terminal intensity.
What you should have said was, John, you're right, but let's give Space Above and Beyond a try. And we'll discuss it later.
Is that it for this week? Is that all we got?
I thought Kevin had a retro rocket.
I didn't. I thought I had something, and then it disappeared. It was on the tip of my tongue.
Lost in the
ether. Wait. It's a little stick bug.
So, we got any gaboos for this week, or what?
We were going to do the Metal Gears and Metal Cheers.
Oh.
For this week.
Oh. I wasn't familiar with this plan.
The Metal Cheers and the Metal Gears.
Okay.
Okay, I think...
Metal Cheers!
I think we could describe the three of us as Metal Gear fans.
Yes.
Kevin, do you enjoy Metal Gear?
I enjoyed Metal Gear 1 and 2. And I never played Twin Snakes.
No. Oh, so no. You're talking about Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
You never played Snake Eater?
I never played Snake Eater.
Oh, dude, Snake Eater is incredible.
Dude, so if not for how shitballs amazing Metal Gear Solid and Twin Snakes were, Snake Eater is probably the most accomplished.
Yeah.
Of the especially if you
actually, put, I got to give it to Guns of the Patriots. Yeah. That game is pretty phenomenal, too.
That's 4, right?
Yeah.
I played a little bit of it. I have it.
4's game design is pretty remarkable, actually.
Next week, I'll bring you in my copy of...
I got no time.
...of Subsistence.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I got no time.
Kevin?
I'm playing Bioshock, and that's it.
Yeah, Bioshock will be over in like 4 hours.
Yeah, and then I got to play Kings Level 3. I do. Yeah. Steve gave it to me. I have to play it.
Well, in 10 years, when you're 56 and have some time to play some video games, I'll give you.
You got to play through Twin Snake, or you got to play through Snake Eater and Guns of Patriots.
Right. Yeah. Well, I want to pick up
Nino Kuni
too as well.
Yeah. So, getting on to our metal cheers and our
metal cheers
and our metal cheers, Colonel. What the hell is going on? what moments of what you've seen thus far out of Metal Gear Solid 5 have made you want to spark up a cigarette and celebrate, you know?
Oh, this is about Metal Gear? I'm not going to have anything to... Anyway, go ahead.
You know, what kind of stuff excites you? And what kind of stuff makes you say, what the hell, Hideo?
Metal cheers? I'm going to be contrarian right now. Yes, I know, Kev. Maybe contrarian.
Who would that never happen?
I actually like that they're changing Snake's voice.
You son of a bitch.
You don't like cigarettes and whiskey? I've just gotten so tired of Metal Gear.
Yeah, until he finds out they're going to switch his voice actor to Stephen Bloom. It's the same person!
No, apparently, rumor, word on the street is that it's going to be like Kiefer Sutherland. Or something.
Really?
Now, yeah. Watching from the trailer... Is this Big Boss or is this Snake?
This is Big Boss.
It's Big Boss?
Yeah, it is Big Boss.
Okay.
Metal cheers. I'm glad they're changing his voice. I love the idea of an open world setting. Like, I love this whole, like, Ground Zero takes place in this base at the tip of Cuba. And all of that stuff. I love that idea. Metal jeers, going back to Big Boss and not Solid Snake.
Yeah. You just stole my Metal jeers, you bastard.
Yeah, having it take place after Peace Walker, which was... You know, for all intents and purposes, a pretty solid game. Like, well, no, it was better than solid. It was one of the best games on PSP. It was a good Metal Gear game. But Big Boss's story was always boring as shit.
Well, all in all, Big Boss's story to me...
It ended with 3.
Yeah, it ended with Snake Eater.
Yeah, and it was awesome. Snake Eater was incredible.
And it was fantastic, because you got this guy who'd been portrayed thus far as a Cobra Commander-style supervillain.
Yeah.
And you got into him and realized that... Holy shit, everything he's doing was actually to a noble end, right? And this was a guy who was just... He realized he couldn't swim against the tide. All he could do was stand up in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He couldn't... The system was too big. He couldn't change it.
Yeah.
All he could do was play his part.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the idea of... Like, I mean, they set stuff up in 3 that was alluded to in the original Metal Gear. Like, I mean, way back to the original Metal Gear. How, you know, the game ends with him killing the boss. And it all being kind of alluded to that the boss was just being used by the Americans the same way he would be in the future. And then when Solid Snake kills him at the end of the original Metal Gear, it's kind of a parallel situation. He wasn't the villain you thought he was. He was set up by the government the same way the boss was, you know? Like,
yeah.
And that shit was really, really cool. But to get into all of this military sans frontiers crap and raising his little personal army down in South America and Paz and Chico and all these other shitty characters, you know, it was just... Didn't really do much for me.
Metal cheers for me. It looks like Big Boss has a cybernetic arm in his trailer.
He does.
I love Metal Gear doing the bleeding
edge. He also has a piece of shrapnel sticking out of his forehead, permanent.
I always love when Metal Gear did the bleeding edge technology stuff.
Yep.
They're exceedingly good at it. Metal Gears, we discussed this a little bit earlier, is Kojima out of his fucking mind?
Yes.
There comes a point where it's like, man, stop with the existential bullshit and just make a game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't need this experience spread across several titles. Look how well that worked out for Final Fantasy.
Yeah. That's the... Well, I mean, when it was initially revealed that it was going to be, like, a tanker, big shell scenario, yeah, like Metal Gear Solid 2, I was all for that.
Yeah.
All for Ground Zeroes being like the opening 2 or 3 hours of the game, and then bam, into Phantom Pain.
Yeah.
That would have been phenomenal. You know, skip ahead 9 years, bam. Great. Awesome. And I mean, it looks, I mean, the engine looks great. The graphics and stuff look fantastic. Technically, it looks like a brilliant game. Holy shit, running through a forest on horseback with a shotgun while everything around you is on fire, shooting at some flaming dude on a unicorn. Yeah, okay, fucking batshit crazy.
There are unicorns?
Yeah, there's a unicorn, bitch.
Really?
But anyway, like, I mean, it looks...
I wouldn't... Kevin, don't be alarmed, because Big Boss can fucking kill anything on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay.
The game looks great, and I'm like, and yes, in classic Metal Gear fashion, you know, you look at it and half the time you're thinking, what the fuck is going on? You know, but if it's like Metal Gear Solid 4 and how it all comes together in the end, I mean, yeah, there were parts of Metal Gear Solid 4 that we were just like, what?
I saw Ocelot in that trailer.
Yes.
Last time I saw you, I beat you to death and threw you off the top of Metal Gear.
Yeah. But see, this is young Ocelot, because it takes place before Metal Gear Solid. Yeah. You know, it all takes place in the time before Metal Gear Solid. So, it's, I mean, yeah, Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots, that was the end of Solid Snake's story. Sure, okay, fine. But do we really need a prequel? Do we really need to go back to Big Boss again?
Yeah.
You know? I'm just kind of like, I should be more excited than I am. And I'm sure the game will come out and it'll be phenomenal.
Yeah.
But, you know, for now, I'm a little bit more guarded. This is not the same world it was in 2005, 2004, when we first started seeing glimpses of Metal Gear Solid 4. You know, everything has changed in that time. Games have changed. The way games are presented have changed.
War has changed.
No, war never changed.
No, Metal Gear Solid 4 opens with Snake saying, and it's war funny, because this was right around the time of Fallout 3.
Yeah.
War has changed.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know what? I give him some credit, because the guy has made some phenomenal video games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's never really disappointed me. As much as I say he's batshit crazy and that kind of stuff, you know, like, none of his games have ever really disappointed me. Even, like, after the fallout from Metal Gear Solid 2, when I was finished Metal Gear Solid 2, I thought, man, that game was freaking amazing. You know?
I still get mad at people who don't realize that, yes, you were playing as Raiden. Who was still the main character in that
exactly
game, right?
Exactly.
Who was the monkey wrench in the plan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was, you know, what still drove everything falling apart on that on Big Shell?
Yeah.
Was the fact that Snake was still alive.
Yeah. Yeah. And like it was a well done game.
Yeah.
It looked great. It played great.
And it gave you a ninja fight on top of a bridge.
It did that. I mean, like, you know, it wasn't the same game that everybody was expecting, but it was still pretty cool. And, well, I mean, Snake Eater was just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And Guns of the Patriots, amazing. And it was. I think part of me is kind of a little bitter, because I had hoped he'd just leave it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and it, like what Kev has alluded to the last, like, last episode and then tonight, you know? Do a remake or something. Do a restart. And I know... Yeah. That he kind of says this is a new beginning for the series and stuff, but why call it Metal Gear Solid 5 if that's the case? Why not just stick with Metal Gear Ground Zeroes?
Yeah.
You know, why not dump Solid all together?
Yeah.
Yep. And I'll tell you what I'm really looking forward to, though, is when we eventually get the trailer when we meet this game's Foxhound unit.
Hopefully.
You know, you had, what was it, Foxhound, Dead Cell, Cobra.
Yeah.
And Beauty and the Beast, I think, was in
Beauty
4.
Beauty and the Beast, yeah.
And the Winds of Destruction from Rising.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I'm crazy about all that wacky G.I. Joe shit.
So I guess that's it. Unless Kev's got something to add?
I've got nothing to add to that, because I haven't seen anything on the new Metal Gear.
Really?
No. He's too busy reading about Mojang firing hookers.
I am playing an awful lot of Draw Something. Whoa! Talk about next gen.
You should be playing some Bioshock and you're playing Draw Something.
Wow. I played on the bus.
So our good, bad, and uglies for this week.
Gaboos.
Good?
Good.
I think we can all agree on.
Remember yourself, huh?
Oh, Bioshock Infinite.
Infinity has arrived and it's Bioshock realized.
Yeah, Bioshock, it's pretty fantastic. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's the fusion of art and game design that a lot of people fool themselves into thinking the first one was. That's not a knock on the first one.
Yeah, I don't want to be too harsh on the first one, because it has its lovers, and no, I'm not one of, I like it. I do, in, like, there's parts of the first one that are extremely
That's still a solid 7 or 8 out of 10,
yeah,
right?
It's, I mean, there's parts of that first game that I find incredible, but there's parts of it that frustrate the shit out of me, too. Infinite, so far, has been stunning.
Yeah.
And, like, I can't believe I held off. I can't believe I waited until, you know, 5 or 6 days after it was released to get the punch.
Yeah.
Because I was just so worried. I was so, you know, all the reviews were so good and so positive, but they were for the original, too. And, you know, I could have waited till the original went down to $19.99 and been perfectly satisfied.
Right, right.
So it was kind of a situation where, okay, do I buy this or the Devil's Cartel? And I said, well, you know what? Everybody else is going on the BioShock train. You know, do I choose the avant-garde art film or do I choose the Michael Bay movie?
Yeah.
I chose the Michael Bay movie.
And that segues into our band for the week.
That, my friends, has made all the difference.
That segues into our band for the week. Army of Two, The Devil's Cartel, takes what was a promising franchise and a different style shooter and just takes a great big piss all over it.
It just blandifies the entire thing.
Yeah.
It turns it into Premium Plus on salted crackers.
You guys remember how much I cried when I realized we weren't getting any more Kane and Lynch?
Yeah.
You know, this is, you know, having a co-op shooter instead of set in a military world, set it in...
Beautiful friend, the end.
Can I do our ugly, gentlemen?
You can do our
Even
ugly.
Though it wasn't official news, we did talk about it. Hiring hostesses to come to your party at GDC is not cool, guys. Two companies have done it. Two.
I would have been all over that.
Well,
Steve would have walked in the door and said, I'm excited to see your, hey, whores!
Prostitutes. Awesome.
It's not cool.
I'm sorry, did you just say prostitutes?
Prostitutes. Awesome. I am the guy who walked into a hotel in Halifax and asked how he could find a prostitute.
And he's married with children.
And when the 19-year-old kid at the desk thought I was dead serious and kind of said, we're not really that kind of hotel, I quickly answered, escorts then.
Oh, dear. Yes, we are blast processing.
This is our final episode.
No, all I had to add to the whole GDC thing, guys, invite me to your party next year, please. I would like to come.
And maybe you can pay him.
Can I sign off this week?
You can sign off this week.
Awesome. Guys, we are Blast Processing. If you're listening to this, you are the resistance.